So it's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And we thank him for the grace and the power and the ability. It's not by might, it's never by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And I've been reflecting on the encounters of the resurrection. And this is just looking at the various accounts of the people that Jesus interacted with. And maybe today we can just focus on Mary Magdalene and Jesus. And we'll read from John chapter 20. And the Bible says, John chapter 20 verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. One of the interesting arguments that we have of late is people argue, when was really Jesus crucified? There are those who argue that it wasn't during Easter. That is fine. Easter is a different, you know, occasion that was there that was already being celebrated, and they decided to fuse it with that. And then that's where you'll find people will say, do we celebrate Happy Easter or Happy Resurrection? The most important thing is that we are celebrating the resurrection. I mean, if you can think of a birthday, not everyone is accurate about when they were born, but they gave themselves a date, and that date is enough, and we celebrate the person. And so the most important thing is that we celebrate the encounter, the resurrection that happened, the death, crucifixion, and resurrection that happened. And when we look at the dates, we can see that they say it's very clear that Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. And the first day of the week is when? Sunday. And that is why many Christians globally worship on Sunday. And this is how even the early church, they will worship on Sunday. And this was in honor and in remembrance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So every time we even go to church and worship on Sunday, it's a reminder of this. It's a testimony of his resurrection, and we must always continually bring back life, just that awareness that we are remembering our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Mary Magdalene is a unique character in the scriptures, because when you look at Mary Magdalene, the Bible speaks of her as one who, you know, who seven demons had been removed, you know, and she was among, you know, the women who are the contributors of Jesus. They're the ones who provided for his needs. You know, there are many women who contributed to the needs of Jesus. Yes, Jesus did not have, or among the 12 disciples, he did not have females. But this does not mean that he did not have female disciples. There were disciples, there were followers that were female, and one of the strongest that is seen is Mary Magdalene. And you can see the Bible describes her as a woman who had had seven demons driven out of her. And that tells you that, you know, there is that passion that happens when, you know, when someone has met the Lord, or when you have received something from God, when God has forgiven your past, when God has restored you, when the presence of God has comforted you that your sins are forgiven, that you are loved of God. It doesn't matter your past or what you've done, but there is that comfort from the Holy Spirit that he loves you. And that comfort has a way of driving people towards devotion. And we can see how Mary Magdalene is one of those that were driven toward devotion, because God had done something mighty for her. You know, when someone is possessed by demons, these are people, and this is someone who has no control over themselves, you know, and who knows what the demons had made her. You can think about the legion had made the other madman to run naked, and, you know, and to live by the tombs, to be in torment, crying day and night. And the Bible does not tell us what was Mary Magdalene's state before, although there are those that try and consider that, you know, that she was the woman who came and you know, and washed Jesus's feet with her hair. And people were like, is this Jesus, can Jesus not see that this is a wicked woman, a sinful woman, and that? But you know, there are those who would say she is that woman. Others will not say it is, will say it was someone else and mentioned. But one thing we are clear is that the scriptures tell us that this is a woman of whom seven demons had come out. And this you can read in Luke chapter 8 verse 2. The Bible says, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. So there is a very clear description of who she is. And it's amazing that she is among those that saw Jesus first. She is the first. So she's a significant character in the story of the resurrection and in the story of the life of Jesus. So Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now, ideally, she didn't go alone, because we see the scriptures show us that Mary was there. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, is also Salome mentioned in the various gospels. And the stone had been removed from the entrance. And you remember when they were going, they were asking themselves, who will roll the stone away from us? But the Bible tells us that, you know, in the night there was an earthquake, and an angel of God descended from heaven, rolled the stone and sat on it. And, you know, and the guards were shaken. They were like dead men. They were terrified. They had to run away. Luke 24. But eventually they went and told the chief priests, and the chief priests gave them money to run a roll narrative. So she came running to Simon Peter, verse 2, and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. You know, when they entered the, you know, the tomb, and you can see this in Luke, Matthew, and Mark, the Bible says that there's description of the vision of angels, and the angels will tell the women that you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus that was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. And go and tell his disciples to go and meet him in Galilee. So that was one of the things that was constant, that they will go and meet Jesus in Galilee. And we can see clearly that they had already been informed that Jesus was resurrected. He is not in the grave. But you see, there is still that confusion. In their mind, they are like, oh, where is the body? You know, who has stolen the body of our Lord? You know, yes, you have killed him. Yes, they scourged him. Yes, they crucified him. But at least they should release to us the body, you know, because they wanted to honor the body. They wanted to bring the spices, you know, to honor him and all that. But you can see there was so much confusion. And sadly, you know, the testimony of women in that time was not considered highly, because even when the women ran and told the disciples, it looks like stories. Look verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And this, the other disciple, is John. John is the writer, is describing himself. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So one of the things that you have to understand is that the way the Jews would bury is that they would ensure the body was well tied, that the person cannot untie himself from that tying. When that body is tied properly, there is no way, even if that person was to have died by mistake, that person or was sleeping, that person cannot get themselves out of that tying. Now, when they see the linen, it's because Jesus, basically, when he resurrected, he lifted out of the linen, and he left the linen lying in its place, just as it was when he was buried. But then there was a handkerchief that was placed where his head was. he folded it and put it on the side. And we've already been able to see that that folding is symbolic that he is coming back. And we can see verse 6. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. You know, it was still lying there. Verse 8, finally the other disciple, this is John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. So when John entered the tomb, he saw and believed. Although verse 9 says, they still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So you can see, you can imagine that confusion in the morning. They have come, the angels have told them that he is not here, he is risen. Go and tell the disciples. Peter and John come running. Peter enters and then he sees, he goes out, he wonders what has happened. John again enters. When he sees, then he believes. But then, because of that confusion, Mary is still outside the tomb crying. You know, this was a period of mourning. You know, they are looking towards Jesus being the Redeemer of Israel, and their Lord and Savior was crucified. Verse 11 says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and so two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken away my Lord, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. You can see how, you know, God is very close to those that are seeking him. You know, whether it is in tears, whether it was in that confusion, it was necessary that God sends an answer to Mary Magdalene, because she was the one that still stayed there crying, you know, still wondering, where have they taken my Lord? You can see the emotions were going through her. Yes, she had been told that Jesus is resurrected, but there is that aspect that she still wants to see the Lord. And you can ask yourself, you can see two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. You know, Jesus's life when he was on the earth was characterized by the ministry of angels. Remember when he tells Nathaniel, what if you see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man? You know, you will see greater things like this. You know, when he fasted, you know, he was helped by angels. When he was praying, you know, in the garden of Gethsemane, then the angels came and ministered to him. The angels were constantly ministered to him. And we can see, even in his death, we can see there is that continuous presence of angels that are surrounding this encounter. And you can see, so she's still asking, oh, where have you taken my Lord? Then who appears? Jesus. Verse 14, at this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. She did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, woman, why are you crying? And who is it you are looking for? So this is Jesus appearing. And remember, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene first after his resurrection. And I think it's important. And he appeared in a garden. You know, when we think about creation, what led to the loss of man, to the fall of man, was a woman being deceived by the devil in a garden. And Jesus, to restore mankind, has to come back to the garden and restore first the woman and to meet Mary Magdalene. You can see, and he asks her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? And these are the words of Jesus. And then, thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. So you can see, she is just like, you know, if you have hidden his body, just tell us, where is his body? Allow us to mourn. Yes, we know you have killed him, but tell us so that we can get to him. And then Jesus said to her, Mary. You know, the voice of the Lord, you know, when they had walked with Jesus all these years, they knew the voice of Jesus. And more importantly, there was a way that Jesus would have called her that she instantly recognized that it was Jesus. And the Bible says she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. So Mary understood that the person that was speaking to her, that appeared from behind her and asked, woman, why are you crying? Jesus could not stand to see Mary crying. And he appears, you know, at that time, you know, Jesus is appearing. He's in his body, he's in the resurrected body that is not limited by time and space. He's not limited by matter. He can enter into a room. He can come out, you know, and he appears to her and he says, Rabboni, which means teacher. Verse 17 says, and Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she had told them that he had said these things to her. You know, one of the things that this scripture tells us is that Jesus ascended. You know, there was an ascension that happened even before the main ascension that he ascended before his disciples. So he had, and the book of Hebrews tells us that he took his blood and took it to that sanctuary that is not made by human hands. The heavenly sanctuary, where it is real, where the throne of God is, the throne of grace. And he took his blood, and that blood that he took is the one that speaks better things for us than the blood of Abel. So from what we understand from this is that Jesus did not want Mary to hold on to her because he said, I have not yet ascended to the Father. Do not cling to me. You know, do not cling on to me, but rather go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to your Father, to my Father and your Father. You know, what Jesus was trying to say that, look here, let me first go into heaven. Let me first take the blood. Let me first take it to that sanctuary. Then I will come back and then I'm going to meet. And he says, he now shows the kind of relationship because of what he has done on the cross. Remember, by this time, Jesus has paid the price for sin. He has paid the full penalty for repentance, for there to be a divine exchange, for there for man to have access to God. That price is paid. When he said Telestai, it is finished, the debt is paid in full. He was now saying, now that I have resurrected you and I, you the disciples, you that believe in the Lord Jesus, you now qualify to call God your Father. He says, you now qualify to call God your God, because the Bible tells us that he was made after, he wanted sons to be made after him. God was wanting to multiply sons of God on the earth. And by the death and resurrection of Jesus, the work was complete that men have access to God. And you can clearly see that now Jesus is now able to say that, now look here, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. That means now God becomes your Father by right. The Bible says to those that received him, to those that believed in his name, he gave them the right, or he gave them the power, the exousia, to be children of God or to be sons of God. And sons of God is those that have been begotten by the Spirit, begotten by the Father. You have the DNA of God. You have the DNA of Jesus. You are made like him. You're conformed to his image and likeness. We must never forget the things that God did, what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. And from this encounter of Mary Magdalene, we can see that the words of Jesus are so powerful. He says, go instead to my brothers He calls the disciples my brothers. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. Why? Because he died to redeem us. That he goes to heaven as a man. You know, that's why Jesus can still come on the earth. Why? Because he has a body. You know, he has the body. He has the body that has, and you know, when later on he appears to the disciples, he shows them his hands. He said, hold my hands. See where, you know, where the nails went through. And, you know, when Thomas says, I will not believe until I put my hands on his hand and also on his side. And Jesus shows them all those things to believe. And verse 18 says, and Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said to her these things. You know, there are encounters that happen to you as a person that even if people will deny it, you are without a shadow of doubt that it is from the Lord, that you met the Lord. And Mary Magdalene was convinced that indeed it was the Lord, and she gladly said it. She held on to him, and Jesus said, don't hold on to me, I'm yet to ascend to my Father. But most importantly is that we know they were living witnesses. And that's why the Bible mentions names. Mentions names like on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas is mentioned, and the other disciple who is unmentioned. The Lord, he mentions name Peter, he mentions name John, he mentions name of Simon. You know, there are people that are clearly mentioned, that even the Paul says when Jesus ascended, he ascended before 500 brethren, of whom some are still alive at the point Paul was writing, just to show that Jesus is alive. When Paul says, even I myself, the Lord Jesus appeared to me on the road to Damascus, this is evidence for us that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not in the grave. He is the only Lord that is alive. He died, but he lives. He died, but he resurrected. And if our God died and we put our hope in him, in the power of the resurrection, that we can walk and experience it, then we know that the resurrection power is available to our lives, is available for every dead situation, every dead organ, every dead circumstance comes back to life when we bring that resurrection power. That's why Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the joy of sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings, to be conformed like him in his death. You know, there is that conformation that God makes us to die, that to die to self, to die to flesh, to die to sin, that to die to the systems of the world, that we can become more and more like Christ. So I want us to just, it takes that reflection, it takes that picture to see Jesus in the garden, seeing this woman crying and appearing and says, why are you crying? And she turns and holds on to him and says, Rabboni, my teacher. Oh, it is a blessing. It is a blessing to see what Christ has done and what he did. He resurrected. He is alive. I'll stop here and I pray that God gives us insight into this. My sister, you're welcome for your reflections. Any reflections on your end? Okay. If none, we can pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. Thank you for your love. That you are God and there is no one else like you. You are mighty. You are faithful. You are holy. You are on the throne. You are the Most High God. You are the God of the resurrection. Nothing dies, nothing dies, nothing dies, nothing stay dies. You are the God that brings life to dead wombs. You are the God that brings life to dead marriages, to dead relationships, to dead homes, oh God, to dead circumstances, to dead businesses. You are the God that brings alive, oh God. You are the one that makes alive. Father, I thank you that you are the giver of life. You are life itself. And indeed, the resurrection is alive today, is alive in our hearts to restore our love for you, to restore our relationship with you, to restore our hope in you, O God. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, you are the greatest comforter. You are the greatest strength. You are the greatest encourager, that you watch over your children one after another. You are our strength. You are our hope. You are our life. And you are there to comfort, O God, to those that are crying, to those that are weeping. As Mary Magdalene was weeping, you are close. You are close to the brokenhearted. You comfort those that are contrite in spirit. I thank you this morning that your hand, your power, your presence releases life to us. We honor, we exalt you, and we lift up your holy name. May your name be exalted and be magnified. Go ahead of us in this day. Bless us, watch over us, protect and preserve us. We exalt you and we magnify your holy name. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Indeed, shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.